Hi everyone, good morning for those who are listening in the morning, and happy Monday to all. My name is Mike, and I'm the college pastor at Symphony Church, and it's my pleasure to lead us in this week's devotionals, at least from Monday through Thursday, and then our brother Kevin Hong will lead the devotional on Friday. We're going to continue off where we left off in the book of Judges, and today we're going to read Judges chapter 3, verses 7 to 31. All the passages we read for in the book of Judges is fairly long, and so I encourage you not just to listen to the reading of Scripture, but to also follow along in your Bible or your Bible app. So if you can open that up with me, we're going to look at Judges, which is right after the book of Joshua, Judges chapter 3, verses 7 to 31. This passage today is the start of us looking at the different accounts of judges for the people of Israel. Just a reminder that Joshua had led the people of Israel into the Promised Land. And now, several generations later, this is the account of Israel facing different opposition from other nations. The reason why this occurs is because of Israel's disobedience to the Lord. They fall constantly over and over and over again into sin and idolatry, and God disciplines them under the hands of their enemies. And they repent. We see them kind of go through this cycle of sinning and disobeying the Lord. They're disciplined by, the oppression of other enemy nations. And then they repent and they grieve. And the Lord sends them a judge or a deliverer, someone who will actually deliver them from their enemies. And we'll see that over and over again, they go into this season of rest and then they go back into the cycle. And so today we're going to read about the first three judges of 12. Their names are Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar. So let's finally read the passage, Judges chapter 3, 7 to 31. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asheroth. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel, who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He gathered to himself the Ammonites and the Amalekites and went and defeated Israel. And they took possession of the city of palms, and the people of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up for them a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. The people of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon, the king of Moab, and Ehud made for himself a sword with two edges, a cubit in length, and he bound it on his right thigh under his clothes. And he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when Ehud had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who carried the tribute. But he himself turned back at the idols near Gilgal and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." And he commanded, "Silence," and all his attendants went out from his presence. And Ehud came to him as he was sitting alone in his cool roof chamber. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God from you." And he arose from his seat. And Ehud reached with his left hand took the sword from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the hilt also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not pull the sword out of his belly, and the dung came out. Then Ehud went out into the porch and closed the doors of the roof chamber behind him and locked them. When he had gone, the servants came, and when they saw that the door of the roof chamber were locked, they thought, surely he is relieving himself in the closet of the cool chamber. And they waited till they were embarrassed, but when he still did not open the doors of the roof chamber, they took the key and opened them, and there lay their lord dead on the floor. Ehud escaped while they delayed, and he passed beyond the idols and escaped to Seirah. When he arrived, he sounded the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim. Then the people of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was their leader. And he said to them, follow after me, for the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him and seized the fords of the Jordan against the Moabites, and did not allow anyone to pass over. And they killed at that time about 10,000 of the Moabites, all strong, able-bodied men. Not a man escaped. So Moab subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, so today I want to look at who exactly these judges are and how amazing it is that God chooses to use them as leaders for the people of Israel. And we're going to see kind of the implications of what this looks like for us today. We just read about the first three judges, Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar. And I want to remind us that these judges are not like the ones you see today in court, but they were deliverers appointed by God for a certain time. They served as military leaders in times of crisis, in times of oppression. And there's this cycle that we see in these accounts. Every time a judge died, Israel went astray again, returning to sinful practices and idolatry. It was a constant cycle of sin and deliverance. Israel rebels, God disciplines them. Israel repents, God delivers them through a judge. 12 to be exact. And the very reality that God even sends the judges is out of his sheer mercy and grace. We talked about that last week. It's amazing that God had chosen these specific men and women. We're going to see some of the women judges in our later devotionals this week. And it's just amazing that God had chosen these specific people. Let's take a look at the first of the 12 judges, Othniel. The name Othniel means God's strength. He delivered the sinful and idolatrous Israelites from 8 years of oppression by Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And it says that in verse 10, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he prevailed over this king of Mesopotamia. Othniel, God's strength was flowing through him. 8 years of oppression led to 40 years of freedom and rest. But what's even more amazing about Othniel is what we read in verse 9. It says that Othniel was the son of Kenaz. In other words, he was a Kenizzite. Even Caleb, the one who scouted out the land that God had promised the people of Israel, even he was a Kenizzite. Now you might be wondering, what is a Kenizzite? What's so significant or insignificant about a Kenizzite? Here's the thing about Kenizzites. They're not really Israelites, at least by blood. They were a group of people during the time of Abraham, and they're mentioned in Genesis 15 as one of the groups living in the land that God had promised to Abraham's descendants. There's not much we know about the Kenizzites other than the fact that they are not Israelites by blood, but at some point they joined the Israelites as proselytes, as converts. They had joined the people of Israel. And so the first judge to rescue Israel isn't even an Israelite. Now, let's look at the second judge, Ehud. To be honest, I was so confused. This is out of the three accounts that we read today. Ehud's account was the longest of them by far. And to be honest, I was so confused when I read this passage. You know, what purpose does this have in Scripture? As Ehud confronts King Eglon and all these details about, you know, King Eglon being a fat man and him stabbing him with a sword. And, you know, all these different details come up in this account. And I ask myself, what purpose does this have in Scripture? But as I studied this passage, I learned something very, very insightful. You see, Ehud means, where is the glory? And as we try to make sense of this crazy account of Ehud essentially assassinating King Eglon, the name Ehud makes us ask the question, where is God's glory? What happened to Israel that they are so far away from God's glory? And God chooses to use Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. All right. So if you do a study in the Bible on being right-handed, you'll find that it's all positive. No offense to those of you who are listening and are left-handed. It's just that the right hand in the Bible is a symbol of power and authority. God swears by his right hand. Pleasures lie at God's right hand. Jesus is sitting at the right hand. It's all good. But here you have a man who is left-handed from the tribe of Benjamin, which means son of the right hand. The irony of this is that God chooses to use a left-handed man from a right-handed tribe to get rid of a human idol, a fattened calf. You have this man named Eglon, king of Moab, who conquers Israel for 18 years. And did you know that Eglon's name actually means heifer or calf? And then you have this surprising detail about Eglon's physical appearance in verse 17, that he was a very fat man. Biblical narratives never throw in random comments like this about someone's physical appearance. Wherever it does, it's always there for a reason. And the reason here is that the narrator is having some fun with kind of the context and the language here. And it's foreshadowing what's going to happen. The king who has been ruling over Israel for 18 years is really like a fattened calf. And King Eglon never expected to be murdered by a left-handed man. In fact, he was probably the last person anyone expected God to use as a judge. All right, so Othniel was not even an Israelite. Ehud was a left-handed man from a right-handed tribe. And third, we see Shamgar. The account of Shamgar is surprisingly super short, especially compared to the other accounts. But this leads us to ask perhaps even more questions as to who Shamgar really is. Shamgar's name, from what scholars can make out from his name, it appears that Shamgar was an Egyptian mercenary working for Pharaoh. God uses someone who not only isn't an Israelite to deliver Israel, but he uses a pagan foreigner, a complete outsider, a stranger who doesn't even believe in God. As we look at these first three judges, we see that God uses even outsiders and outcasts to serve him and to deliver his people. He used Othniel, a Kenizzite, a tribe that no one really knows about or how they even came to join the Israelites. He used Ehud, someone who no one expected anything from because nothing good really came from being a left-handed man from a right-handed tribe. And he used Shamgar, a complete stranger, a pagan, non-Israelite warrior to deliver Israel from its enemies. I think what this chapter, what this passage is showing us, is that anyone can be used to serve the Lord. Anyone can be used by God to fulfill his plans. Perhaps you felt like you're not knowledgeable enough, or you're not skilled enough, or you're not eloquent enough, or you're not whatever enough. But if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us at least one gift, at least one gift, perhaps more, that we can use to build up the body of Christ for his kingdom purposes, for his glory. And so let's do that. Let's recognize that serving the Lord has less to do about how great we are and more about how great our God is. It has less to do with what we have or what we know or how strong we are, but it has more to do with what God can do in and through us as we say yes to him. Whatever his call is for us, let's say yes. Let's serve the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us and is with us, just as it was with Othniel. And so let's be encouraged by these accounts, and let's be used to serve the Lord and to fulfill his plans and purposes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and I pray, God, that you would really speak to us, Lord, today as we go about our day at work or in classes, whatever it may be. God, we do ask, Lord, for your Spirit's leading. And Lord, that we would really come to know that all of us, each and every one of us, can be used to serve you, God. We can be used to be a part of your kingdom work. And so, Lord, as we look at Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would use us for your purposes and your plans. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this devotional. It's quite longer than usual, but I hope you were encouraged and blessed. Come out tomorrow again, and we'll look at Judges chapter 4. Have a great day.